Please turn to Psalms, Book of Psalms and Psalm 1. We're starting a new series on the Psalms today. So we'll read the first Psalm. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Psalms is the second book of Hebrew poetry. The first one is the book of Job. Then we also have Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. But poetry is found all the way through the Old Testament, or poetic form, Hebrew poetic form. We find it in Genesis. We find it in the books of the law. We find it in the Old Testament prophets, and you'll notice as some of the Bibles that you have, how it's set out differently from the main text. It's indented and set out like it was verse. That, of course, is the arbitrary decision of the translators, because it's not written like that in the originals or the copies of the originals. But Old Testament poetry is quite different from what we would recognize as modern poetry. There is no rhyming of sounds, particularly at the end of a line. There is no meter that we would recognize as being modern. And of course, if you read postmodern poetry, you possibly wouldn't recognize it as poetry at all. But it's quite different. The difference is that Hebrew poetry doesn't rhyme sounds, but it rhymes or has things, a rhythm of thought and ideas. It's called parallelism. When you look at one line, you'll see perhaps in the next line, the thought is echoed or expressed in a different way. It's a poetry of thought and idea. Our typical poetry from English is hard to translate into another language and retain its poetic form. It's difficult to replicate the words that rhyme with one another when you translate it into a different language. That's not the case with Old Testament poetry, because it's a poetry of thought and ideas. They can be so easily translated into any language. The Bible can be translated in any language that the world has, and we know that there are still some tongues that have yet to receive the translation of God's word into them. And you recognize groups like New Tribes Mission and others who seek to do that translation of God's word into other languages. Coming to the Psalms themselves, we find that David, King David, is credited with 73 of them in the titles at the heading of particular Psalms. And the New Testament, it would also credit him with an extra 2, so that's 75. It credits him with the second Psalm and Psalm 95. Second Psalm we find quoted in Hebrews and also 95. It's the most quoted book from the Old Testament into the New Testament. And we recognize that it often would have been on the lips of our Lord Jesus and his disciples. A writer called Asaph is credited with 12, the sons of Korah with 11, King Solomon with just 2. He's credited with over 1,000 other songs, but we only have these 2 psalms and the Song of Solomon coming down from him. A man called Ethan is credited with 1. Moses, 1 or possibly 2. Psalm 90, definitely. Psalm 91, perhaps. But of course, it's the Spirit of God who has caused the writing of these psalms, who's inspired them, their every word. The Lord Jesus says every dot or tittle of the Old Testament is inspired by God. And they were inspired for over a period of 1,000 years. It's collected into 5 separate books. Psalms 1 to 41 form Book 1. Book 2 has Psalm 42 to 72. Book 3 has Psalm 73 to 89. And Book 4 has Psalm 90, that first one of Moses, to Psalm 106. And the 5th and last book, Psalm 107 to Psalm 150. Perhaps the 5 books were divided to echo the 5 books of the law. Within the Psalms, there are Psalms of instruction, Psalms that we call didactic Psalms, although that's from a Greek word, didache, which means instruction or teaching. We find that there are messianic Psalms, which speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, his coming, the manner of his death, the manner of his life. They speak of him. They speak of the coming King. And then there are difficult psalms like the imprecatory psalms, which record how God's people wanted the punishment of sinners, the punishment of those who were against them, their enemies. They're difficult to read. They're difficult to want now to happen. We would not echo those thoughts ourselves, but echo the words of our Lord Jesus that we are to love our enemies, love those who persecute and despise us. There are psalms that are penitential, particularly Psalm 51 has the penitence of David over the adultery that he committed. And there are those psalms which are called the Psalms of Degrees or Psalms or Songs of Ascent. And it's thought that these were the psalms that the people of God used as they approached Jerusalem for the Passover to worship in the temple. It's thought that these psalms were being recited by the Lord Jesus and his disciples as they were on that way to Jerusalem. The Psalms convey the feelings and the thoughts.